Our Heavenly Father, we come today thanking you so much for a beautiful, beautiful day that you have given us. Father, we thank you for the children of this church, and we ask a special blessing upon Denise as she leads the children in junior church. Father, may you bless their time. This junior church is so important. Sunday school is so important. Educating our children is so important. That is one of the primary things, Father, that we need to do in the church. And we thank you for our leaders that do that. Take time out of their day to prepare lessons that are so vital to the foundation of the young children and their faith. So we thank you for them. Father, be with us now as we share your word. Father, may it be encouraging, may it be uplifting. And Father, as always, may we not just be hearers of your word, but may we always, always be doers of your word. And it is in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we gather here today with hearts full of memory, of longing, and of thanksgiving. Because the saints we honor this morning were not just names on a roll. They were part of our spiritual family. We felt their prayers. We've heard their testimonies. We saw their love for Jesus Christ. And their absence has been felt this year. But our grief is not without purpose, and is certainly not without hope. As it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, which Scott just read, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." Now, we all need to understand that the Apostle Paul is writing to a church that is confused and hurting over the death of some loved ones. You see, some of the people in that church were actually afraid that those who died would somehow miss out on Christ's return. And I imagine that there were others in that church who even questioned if death meant separation from Christ. So the Apostle Paul, under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives them and gives us some gospel comfort. Now, there are four great truths from this text that can anchor our sorrow in the promises of God. And the first truth is that, yes, we grieve, but we do not grieve like the world. Again, look at what the Apostle Paul wrote in verse 13. That you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Notice the Apostle Paul didn't say, don't grieve. He didn't say that, did he? He said, don't grieve like those who have no hope. In other words, grief is not a sin. The Bible tells us that even Jesus himself wept at the funeral of a friend. And look at what the Apostle Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 2, verse 27. He talked about sorrow after sorrow after sorrow. So you see, the Bible is full of weeping. When's the last time you read the Psalms? The Psalms are saturated with cries of the heart. But friends, the difference is this. We grieve within the framework of eternal hope. Amen. You see, it's the world that says death is the end. For the world, the grave is final. But for us Christians, I got news for you. The grave is only temporary. Amen. It is not the end of the story. It is actually a doorway to glory. As it says in Psalm chapter 34, verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And then look at what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. You see, even in the face of sorrow, the nearness of God is our steady anchor. It's God who draws close when our hearts break. It's God who reminds us that faith is not the absence of tears, but it is the presence of truth and trust. And I have seen this many, 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 many times at funerals. You know, for some people, their sorrow is loud and it's just desperate. It's like they're just clinging to memories as if these memories are just slipping away. Their grief feels endless and it feels empty. But then there are others at a funeral, and they grieve a little differently. Their sorrow is a little quieter. Oh, they cry, but their tears rest on the hope that they have in Jesus Christ. Oh, it still hurts. Still hurts. But there's a peace that is holding them together. It's the kind of sorrow that looks through the tears and it says, I miss them. I miss them so much, but I will see them again. I will see them again. And I'm sorry, that's not denial. As some people will say, that is not denial. That's what we Christians call faith. It's the confidence that comes from knowing that Jesus Christ has conquered the grave. It's the assurance of knowing that the same Savior who rose from the dead now holds our loved ones safely in his care. And one day by his grace, we will see them again. Amen. Not in sorrow, but in joy. Standing together in God's presence, whole, restored, and forever alive in glory of our risen Lord. So friends, that is the first truth that we can anchor ourselves to. Yeah, we grieve, but we do not grieve like the world. Well, the second truth is that Christ's resurrection, you know what that guarantees? That guarantees my resurrection. That guarantees your resurrection if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ. Again, look at what it says in verse 14. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. We need to realize that the resurrection isn't just a doctrine that we're supposed to believe. The resurrection is the heart of everything we believe. The resurrection is the heart of our hope. You see, Jesus really did die. He didn't just faint or appear to die. No, Jesus Christ took on the full weight of God's wrath and he truly died. But he also truly rose again, physically, powerfully, and forever. He defeated sin and death once and for all. And because Jesus lives, those who are united to him by faith, they will also live. They will also live. Look at what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. It's not only that. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. I love this word. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. I find so much comfort in that word, first fruits. You see, that word first fruits means that there's more to come. More to come. In other words, our loved ones in Christ are part of that beautiful harvest. Let me make this really, really clear this morning. We are not talking about a general hope of something beyond. We're talking about a specific gospel hope that is grounded in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Think of it this way. Imagine a long train going through a very dark tunnel. Now at the front is the engine, and behind are all the cars that are connected to that engine. Now when that engine breaks through to the other side of the tunnel, the rest of that train is guaranteed to follow. Well, friends, Christ is that engine. Jesus Christ is the one that went before us through the darkness of death and has come out on the other side, the light of resurrection. And everyone who is joined to him by faith will follow behind, not one left in the tunnel, not one car uncoupled. That's what the Apostle Paul means when he calls Jesus the first fruits. His empty tomb is the first sign of that harvest yet to come. A resurrection harvest that includes every believer, every saint, every loved one who died trusting in him. So that's the second truth that we can anchor ourselves to. Christ's resurrection guarantees our resurrection. Our loved ones' resurrection. Well, the third truth, and this is the one that I get very happy about. A glorious reunion is coming. I will see my mom again. I will see my Aunt Minnie. I will see my Aunt Iris. I will see loved ones again, and man, am I excited about that. You too will be reunited with your loved ones. How do I know that? Scott just read it to us. That's how I know it. Look at verses 15 through 17. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, and this is called the rapture, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Right here, the Apostle Paul is describing Christ's return in powerful and triumphant terms. Look at what he says. First, he says there will be a cry of command. That's like a general calling his troops to rise. And then he says there will be the voice of the archangel. That's carrying divine authority. And then last but not least, he says, we will have the trumpet of God sounding the call of final victory. And then Paul says, the dead in Christ will rise first. That means that the saints we remember today will rise. Their bodies that are now resting in the grave, according to Paul, will be raised incorruptible and made new. Look at what the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. In other words, we will not be a disembodied spirit floating around in the clouds. We're going to have a body, a resurrected body, a soul restored in glory just like Christ. And then comes the reunion that Paul describes in verse 17. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. And what a moment that'll be. What a moment that'll be. A day of reunion. A day of rejoicing. And not only will we be reunited with those we love who have gone before us, but more importantly than that, we will be united with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. And that, my friends, is the great hope of heaven. Not only to see our loved ones again, but to dwell in eternal communion with the Savior who loved us and gave himself up for us. You know, it's like a soldier who comes home from war. You know what the sweetest moment is for a soldier? It isn't just stepping back onto home soil. It's when he runs into the arms of his family. The battle is over. The danger is past. He's finally home. He's finally home, surrounded by the ones who love him the most. That's heaven. Heaven is going to be like that, but infinitely greater. You see, when Christ returns, we'll see him first, our Redeemer, the one who fought and won the war for our very souls. And then in that same moment, we will be reunited with the saints who have gone before us. Every tear wiped away. Every wound healed. Every separation ended. That's the promise we hold on to. And it's not a dream, it's not a wish. It's the sure hope secured by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection's everything. That's what we hang our hat on. So that's the third truth that can anchor ourselves to. A glorious reunion is coming. All right, let's finish this up. The fourth truth is that we are to encourage one another with these words. Again, look at what he says in verse 18. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. We miss this part when we read it. We kind of skip over this part. We love all the other stuff, you know. We grab on to all the other stuff about the great reunion and the dead rising in first, and then we being caught up in a cloud with Jesus and he takes us to heaven and everything. We grab on to that. But this little verse right here in verse 18, therefore encourage one another with these words, we skip over that. And we don't realize how important this is. You need to understand what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, don't just believe these truths, share them. Speak them. Remind one another of what is real and what is lasting. Because, friends, these aren't just cold, abstract doctrines meant for classroom debate. These right here are living words breathed out by God, meant to bring comfort to people in their deepest sorrow. God did not give us his word so you and I could run around winning arguments. Too many Christians are doing that today. They're using this as a weapon. He gave us these words so you and I can find strength. You see, friends, his promises in this Bible are not merely to inform the mind. They are to heal the heart. That's what this is for. And when our heart aches, when the pain of loss just feels unbearable, these truths found in this Bible are meant to hold you steady. That's why the Apostle Paul says, encourage one another. Friends, this is a command, not a suggestion. That's why church is so important. That's why the body of believers is so important, because we were not made to walk through sorrow alone. But too many people today are trying to do that, and they're getting ate up by the world. So encourage those who are grieving. Remind them that death does not have the final word. Encourage the weary. Encourage those who are just tired. They're tired of waiting, tired of enduring, and just tired of hoping. Encourage the fearful. Those who lie awake at night wondering what the future holds. And friends, encourage yourself, because sometimes there's no one else to do it for you. So when you find yourself standing at the grave of someone you love, and the ache feels unbearable, I want you to remember these words: the dead in Christ will rise. The dead in Christ will rise. And that is not wishful thinking. That is a promise from the mouth of God himself. When you're sitting in the quiet of the night, tears falling where no one can see, you need to whisper these words to your soul: we will be with the Lord forever. And when the fear of death tries to take hold of your heart, we need to cling to this unshakable truth: Jesus Christ has conquered death. As it says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. I love that image of an anchor. How many of you like the image of an anchor? Especially the biblical image of an anchor. Oh, I love it. Because you see, an anchor doesn't keep the storm from coming, does it? No. You know what an anchor does? It keeps the ship from shifting or drifting when the storm hits. You see, our faith doesn't keep sorrow away. It keeps us from being swept away from sorrow. Think for a moment of a lighthouse. A lighthouse standing tall on a rocky shore. The winds may howl. The waves may crash violently against it. and the darkness of night may seem absolutely overwhelming. But friends, that light does not fail. That light continues to shine. Its beam cuts through the storm. And what does it do? It guides sailors safely home. And the promise of God in this Word of God, in this Bible, this is our lighthouse. This is your lighthouse. So when the winds of sorrow blow, when loss blinds us, and when it feels like all hope is gone, this still shines. This still shines. And that's what the Apostle Paul is calling us to remember this morning. Even when you can't see the way forward, the light of God's promises is still burning brightly. Even when your faith sometimes feels really, really small, his faithfulness is always strong. Even when your heart is broken, his hope still holds. So friends, encourage one another. Speak these truths to your friends, to your family members, to your church family, and speak these words to yourself. Remind one another that we have a Savior who died and rose again. Remind one another that death has been defeated. Remind one another that one day we will all be together in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Never to be separated. Never to cry again. Never to face another night of grief. And friends, this message that I have given you today, this is not just a message for the cemetery. This is a message for every moment of life. Because until that day comes, we live with that anchor, that hope, and that light that cannot be extinguished. The promises of God in this Word of God, in this Bible, in this book, they remain steady. The light of His Word continues to shine, and no storm, not even the storm of grief, can put it out. So the brothers and sisters we honor today, and we do honor them, they have finished the race. But their lives still speak to us. Their faith still speaks to us. And their Savior still speaks to us. So let us grieve. But let us grieve as those who believe in the resurrection, the reunion, and the return of Christ.
If I had only known the last time would be the last time, I would have put off all the things I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. Now what I'd give for one more day with you. Cause there's a wound here in my heart where something's missing, and they tell me that it's gonna heal with time. But I know you're in a place where all your wounds have been erased, and knowing yours are healed is healing mine. The only scars in heaven, it won't be to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. I know the road you walked was anything but easy. You picked up your share of scars along the way. Oh, but now you're standing in the sun. You fought your fight and your race is run. The pain is all a million miles away. The only scars in heaven, it won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made. Thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven, yeah, are on the hands that hold you now. Not a day goes by that I don't see you. You live on in all the better parts of me. Until I'm standing with you in the sun, I'll fight this fight and this race I'll run. Until I finally see what you can see. Oh, the only scars in heaven won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, and even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven on the hands that hold you now.
Amen. This is a poem, Heaven, Safely Home at Last. I am home in heaven, dear ones, so happy and so bright. There's a perfect joy and beauty in this everlasting light. All my pain and sorrow is over. Every sadness and tossing has passed. I am now at peace forever, safely home in heaven at last. Did you ever wonder why I so calmly tread the valley of the shade? It was because the love of Jesus illuminated every dark and fearful glade. And he came himself to meet me in that way so hard to tread. And with Jesus' arms around me, how could I have one doubt or dread? So you must not grieve so sorely, for I love you so much still. Try to look beyond our shadows, pray and trust our Father's will. There is work still waiting for you, so you must not idly stand. Do it now while your life remains here in our Lord's own land.